descriptions of Krishna's appearance. When he appears in this world, he descends in his entire spiritual abode. Word was used, avatar, one who descends. So Krishna's realm, eternal realm, is in the parabhyoma, in the spiritual sky. And as he indicates in Bhagavad Gita, yada yada hi dharmasya glanya, whenever there are times, from time to time, there are discrepancies in dharma. And tadatmanam sirajamyaham, at that time, sirajami, I descend. So the heading is understanding Krishna's appearance, so I'm trying to address that topic. When Krishna descends, he descends in his entire spiritual atmosphere. Srila Prabhupada would sometimes say, if we make the statement, the king is coming, the king is coming, does that mean down the road comes one man walking? The king is coming, the king is coming. When the king comes, he's with his entire entourage. One time at the opening of the Krishna Balaram Mandir in Vrindavan, during the presence of our founder Acharya, great effort was made over a number of years to establish a beautiful temple in the Raman Reti section of Vrindavan. And he wanted so much for the people of India to appreciate Vrindavan, the place of Krishna's childhood pastimes. He invited the governor of UP to attend the function. Now sometimes governors, they have their agents, and the agents come. We just had a parade in New York, and there was an ambassador from one country, and they had 9 different functions to attend in one day. But this was a function that the governor came all the way from Delhi himself personally. And when he came, there were divisions of things that happened. The first thing that happened was the military people came, like days ahead of time, to make sure everything was safe for the governor. And then when the governor actually came, the day of the third day of the installation, Pran Pratishtha ceremony, there was a whole caravan. First came military, then came the governor, and then came the dignitaries, the ministers and other people. That in those days it was the little white ambassador cars with the red ball that swirls around. The older people from India, you know what I'm talking about. Several hundred of those. And, the governor of UP is coming. So as with the governor coming, it's not alone. When Krishna comes, it's not alone. He comes with all of his associates, and he comes in his entire dham. Goloka is the spiritual dham, in the spiritual sky. And yada yada hi dharma shaklani, when there's this discrepancy, that the personality of Godhead makes his appearance, along with all of his other associates, his whole entourage. So part of Krishna's entourage is the cows and the peacocks and the river Jamuna and Govardhan Hill, and the birds and the bees and all the wildlife, the flora and fauna of Vrindavan. It's described in Krishna's pastimes when he was performing a particular pastime in the summer. It was like spring. Those of you that have been to Delhi or live in Delhi, so you know what it's like in the summertime.
It's hot. Very hot.
Some of our children, during their summer vacation, they came back. It was like being in an oven. Krishna was in the summer. The Bhagavatam describes
much better. No feedback also.
So in that verse is
Srijami. Srijami is an important word. Krishna, by his own potency, he descended. He not only by his own potency he descended, but he decided who his mother and father would be. Does anybody here can say they decided who their mother and father would be? I want this one and that one. No. And he decided where he would appear, and he decided what form he would appear in. When Krishna appeared, as you know, he appeared in a four-armed form of Vishnu, in the most unlikely place you can think of, in a prison house. But that's where his mother and father, Vasudeva and Devaki, were, in a prison house. Because Hamsa had heard that the eighth child of Devaki would be the cause of his death. And so he was, although Devaki was his sister, he turned against his sister and imprisoned her and Vasudeva. So Srijani, by his own internal potency, Krishna appears. I'll just explain something from our Padma Purana and our Vaishnava literature. The personality of Godhead has unlimited potencies, not only according to our Vaishnava literature. Krishna literature speaks of God as almighty. He's all powerful. And we'll say the opposite. If God did not have all power or all potency, then he wouldn't be God. If there's, we'll say differently, if there's something that God doesn't have, then he's not God. Sometimes people ask this, I call it a stump the Swami question. They ask the question, is it possible for God to create something that's so heavy he can't lift it? And it's a trick question, it's a semantical question, because if you say, yes, he can create something so heavy he can't lift it, that's something he can't do. Or if you say, he can't create something so heavy he can't lift it, then that's something he can't do. So here's the answer to that Stump the Swami question. Yes, he can create something so heavy he can't lift it, and then lift it. Srijami. This is the difference between the internal potency, inconceivable internal potency, and the external potency. We are ruled by or governed by the external potency. That's this world, Devidham. But above Devidham is Swargaloka, and above Swargaloka is Maheshdham, and above Maheshdham is Haridham, and above Haridham is Golokadham. And when Krishna descends, he descends directly from Goloka and manifests that all-auspicious spiritual realm by his own potency. Of the presentation on understanding Krishna's appearance is based on writings, translations of writings by Vedic literature, by our founder Acharya, His Divine Grace, as he Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada. And this is a picture of the deities, Gornitai deities in Vrindavan, and the central altar is Krishna Balaram, just like in our St. Louis temple, we have Krishna Balaram deities. And here's a close-up of
Radha and Shyama Sundar. Very, very beautiful.
Beautiful deity.
So the circumstance of Krishna's appearance was the earth planet was overburdened during a certain closing period of the Dwarapa Yuga, where demoniac kings were too much burden for Mother Earth. And so she appealed to Lord Brahma, please help, do something. The demoniac kings are just unbearable. Help. So Lord Brahma approached the ocean of milk, the Sweta Dweep, and the Lord of Sweta Dweep is pictured here, Shiradakshayi Vishnu, who is always being served by the goddess Lakshmi. And from his navel comes a lotus flower upon which Lord Brahma is born. Actually, this is Garbhadakshayi Vishnu. So Lord Brahma is the first born living being within our universe, and he, along with the demigods, came to the shore of the milk ocean and offered prayers to Lord Vishnu to please descend. They offered very, very beautiful prayers known in the Rig Veda as Purusha Sukta prayers. Very, very beautiful prayers. And the Supreme Lord replied in such a manner that only Lord Brahma could hear. That is, he imparted a reply from within the heart of Lord Brahma. And within the heart of Lord Brahma, he informed, please let the demigods know that very soon I will appear personally on earth. And before I appear, the demigods should also manifest themselves in the Yadu and Bhoja and Andhaka dynasties, so that they can assist me in my pastimes, and they can enjoy with me in my pastimes. They can render direct service to me in my pastimes, and very soon I will appear. Please instruct the demigods in this manner. And so they make their appearance. Another painting of the same. This is Mother Earth in the form of the cow and the various demigods. This is Goddess Lakshmi. And here's the nice fish in the milk ocean. And Krishna made this prison house of Kamsa. This is when you go to Mathura, you'll see this structure recently built. So it's not the original palace of King Kamsa, but the headquarters of the king of Mathura. But in this area, the king had his palace, and in the prison house, Krishna was born. And as you see, the symbols of Vishnu were there in his hand from the moment of birth. I've never heard any description of any child born like before. Plub and the disc, the dinaj chaya chanduskritam, the implements for admonishing the miscreants, and the lotus and the conch for giving benedictions to the devotees. And the chief of his devotees at this moment of his appearance were Vasudeva and Devaki. Krishna informed them that I appeared in this manner just so that you would understand I'm not just your child, but I'm the personality of Godhead, because you had undergone austerities several lifetimes ago to have me as your son. So I've appeared in three different incarnations now in this form, in this Vishnu feature. Devaki wished, she prayed in her prayers to Krishna to assume a small childlike form, which he did. And he requested them, please carry me to the other side of the river Jamuna so that Kamsa won't have an opportunity to give me any trouble. Vasudeva, following the instruction of Krishna, kept a newborn child in the middle of the night, in the midst of a big storm,
But Ananta Sheshi was there to protect the child as Vasudev carried Krishna across the river. Now I'm going to describe something a little detailed, so listen carefully. As Vasudev was carrying his child across the river, the child slipped from his hand and fell into the river Jamuna. Now imagine if you were a mother or father of a newborn child and the child fell in the river. Vasudev panicked, searching for the child, and then he found the child and continued carrying the child back to the other side of the river Jamuna. I'm going to explain the significance of this in a moment. Stay tuned. When he reached the other side of the river Jamuna, he reached an area that's called now Gokula. And in Gokula, Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda started. So as was the instruction given to Vasudev, he placed the male child, this one, by the side of Mother Yashoda, who that night had also given birth to a female child. And he took the female child with him to the prison house of Kamsa. And just as Krishna had said what happened, all the guards fell asleep, the chains around his arms and legs fell off, the gates of the prison house, they opened. And when he came back, they closed. And the guards then awoke early in the morning, before the sun had come up, and they saw that the eighth child of Devaki, at least apparently, was by the side of Devaki. So immediately they sent word to Kamsa, and Kamsa came running to destroy this small child before the child destroyed him. Krishna, by his time, and the female child was taken. So as Kamsa grabbed the child, this heinous thing even to describe it, he grabbed the child by the child's feet and was ready to smash the child on a stone slab. The child slipped from his hand and flew into the sky and assumed this form, eight-armed form of goddess Durga, and challenged Kamsa, "You are such a fool. The eighth child of Devaki has already been born and will destroy you. Don't kill any further children in your kingdom or you will be destroyed very soon." Kamsa became very afraid. You saw a form like that, you become very afraid too. He offered his amends to Vasudev and Devaki. "Gee, I'm sorry. I killed six of your children, and I was ready to kill number eight. Because the seventh child was Balaram. Because Balaram is the elder brother of Krishna. But Krishna had told the internal potency, Yogamaya personified, to transfer Balaram from the womb of Devaki to the womb of Rohini. And everyone thought that Devaki had, her seventh child was a miscarriage. But that was the seventh child, now the son of Rohini, because Rohini was also one of the wives of Vasudev. So when Krishna spent his childhood pastimes in Vrindavan, first in Gokul, Kamsa sent many demons. And there were so many demons, Putana, the first one, Chakatasura,
Trinavarta, this asura and that asura, it was too much. So Nanda Maharaj held the meeting of the elders from Gokul. He said, there's too much disturbance here. Maybe best if we go back to our ancestral home in underground. So let's gather all our belongings, put them on bullock carts, and we'll travel back to Vrindavan. So Krishna performed his pastimes for some period of time, for 3 years and 6 months in Gokul, and then for some period of time in what is now the city of Vrindavan, and then for some additional number of years at Nandagram. By the time Krishna was 12 years of age, all the demons that had been sent by Kamsa to destroy Krishna were destroyed by Krishna. Then one fine day, Narada Muni paid a visit to Kamsa's palace. This was actually his second visit. And when he was visiting Kamsa's palace, although Kamsa was a demon, he was an observer of Vedic custom. So he received the Brahmana renunciate, Narada Muni, in appropriate cultural style. So Narada said, you pleased me very much by your nice reception. I'm going to tell you something very confidential. Yes, yes, tell me something confidential. The demigods are making a plan to come and destroy you. I was just in the Swarga Loka, and there was a demigod conference. And say you didn't say demigod conference. There was an assembly of demigods, and they were speaking of how they needed to destroy you. But Krishna has already appeared, and he's living in Vrindavan. So Kamsa, you're very intelligent. You know what to do. Do the evil. Now, there's a lot of commentary explaining why did Narada speak like that? And the acharyas describe that he wanted very much to hasten Krishna's pastimes, because Krishna appeared in this world not to deliver the burden of the earth from the demoniac kings. And here was Krishna in Vrindavan, enjoying his loving pastimes with the resident of Vrindavan. He wanted Kamsa, Krishna, to leave and destroy Kamsa and the demoniac kings. So Krishna, Narada then made a visit to Vrindavan. And he met with Krishna. And he saw how much absorbed Krishna was in his joyful pastimes in Vrindavan. But Narada is very expert. Narada spoke in such a way that he didn't tell Krishna what to do, but Krishna got the message. He said, I long to see that day when you go to Mathura and destroy the wicked king Kamsa, who has imprisoned your mother and father, Vasudeva and Devaki. And after destroying Kamsa, I long to see that day when again Ugrasena, the rightful king, will be installed on the throne. And I long to see that day when those many kings who have overburdened the surface of the earth with their military phalanxes, that by your unlimited prowess you will destroy them and reestablish Dharma on earth. Krishna said, I'll go tomorrow. So the very next day, Akura sent as a messenger by Kamsa to bring Krishna to Mathura so he could kill him. He had a multi-leveled plan. If this one didn't work, we'll do that one. If that one doesn't work, we'll do the next one. And surely, we will destroy Krishna. So, the messenger to bring Krishna to Mathura from Vrindavan. But remember, he was born in Mathura and taken across the river Jamuna by Vasudeva and then back again with Nanda Maharaj. So he's in Vrindavan. He never leaves Vrindavan. He is eternally situated in Vrindavan. We heard some description about Krishna being in Dwarka. That's also one of his abodes. In the Goloka realm, there are these different divisions, Mathura, Vrindavan, and Dwarka. These principal abodes are places of Krishna's pastimes. They're actually eternal. And they're manifest yada yada from time to time in this realm. And then sometimes covered. And then sometimes manifest. But they're eternally existing. Just as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, there is a realm that when all of this is destroyed, that realm remains. Because that's eternal, just as the soul is not destroyed when the body is destroyed. The spiritual realm is not destroyed or created when creation comes into being or dissolution comes. It's eternally existing. And sometimes manifest to our vision, and sometimes withdrawn from our vision, but eternally there. So Krishna sometimes manifests his pastimes. So one of the pastimes was having Akura. Akura was the son of Shvapalka. And Shvapalka is part of the royal family in the Yadu dynasty. That's some whole other descriptions. As he was riding the chariot given by Kamsa to bring Krishna, he was meditating all the while. What it will be like when he finally meets Krishna. Because he's a Krishna Bhakta, and he had never seen Krishna. Just like many of us, we're Krishna Bhaktas, but we haven't seen Krishna. So imagine going for a chariot ride where you know on the other end you're going to see Krishna. It's called life. On the other end, if your thoughts are absorbed in Krishna, you go to Krishna. That's what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. Yayatam mam prapadyante tamstataiva pajamyaham. As you prapadyante, as you surrender unto Krishna, that state you will attain without fail. Whatever the mind is fixed upon at the time of death, that will transfer the soul to that situation. Just like Bharat Maharaj. He died thinking of a deer and took the body of a deer. Or the fourth canto of the Bhagavatam. King Paranjana thought of his wife, the queen, at the time of death. In his next life he became a woman. If you think of Krishna at the time of death, you go to Krishna. That's the statement that's found in Bhagavad Gita. So Akura is going to see Krishna. He was very happy to have a mission to go see Krishna. Even it was given by Kamsa. Even the plan of Kamsa was Gaya Bhavakal. He told Kamsa, I'm your minister. It's my duty to give you good advice. You're inviting death. But that's okay. I'll be your messenger. I want to go see Krishna. So as he was riding the chariot to go to see Krishna, his mind became more and more and more absorbed in thought of meeting Krishna. He was contemplating in his mind the beautiful features of Krishna. He was contemplating what he would say to Krishna. He was contemplating how Krishna would smile and what Krishna would respond to him. So in his mind he was composing beautiful prayers, like you might do when you're standing before the deity and offering prayers to the deity, form of the Lord. We do that. We stand before the deity and offer prayers to the deity. So, as he was approaching Vrindavan, he saw the soft sand of Vrindavan, the mark of Krishna's impressions of his feet in the sand. And when he saw just the impressions of the feet of Krishna in the sand, he fell out of the chariot and started rolling on the ground, rolling in the dust of Vrindavan, putting the dust of the lotus feet of Krishna upon his head. Practically intoxicated madman. Just at the sight of the footprints of Krishna. His mission was to bring Krishna back from Vrindavan to Mathura. And what a scene when Krishna was mounting the chariot with all the residents of Vrindavan had gathered, and all the shyness of the gopis was cast to the side. They let their exhibition of love become visible to everyone. They were so eager to have Krishna remain with them in Vrindavan. Some of them grabbed the reins of the horses. Some of them tried to hold the wheel of the chariot. Some of them threw their bodies before the horses. Better to give up my life than lose Krishna. The cowherd boys couldn't bear the separation of Balaram. All the residents of Vrindavan steeped in separation from Krishna. But there is Uncle Akura. And Akura deftly drove the chariot through all the people and left Vrindavan, headed for Mathura. One of the days when we go to Vrindavan, I take groups of devotees to Vrindavan, and one of those days I'm planning, we go from Nandagram and follow the path of Akura's chariot as he traveled from place to place heading for Mathura. It's a very ecstatic day in the Vrindavan Yatra. They're small places, but they're very significant, and different pastimes took place at each of these places. So one of the pastimes that took place when Krishna was leaving Vrindavan was he requested Akura, the chariot driver, to stop the chariot so he could take his bath in the river Jamuna before entering Mathura. So Akura was very happy to oblige Krishna in that way. And Krishna and Balaram got off of the chariot and went and took their bath in the river Jamuna. And when they came back to the chariot, Akura then requested permission from Krishna and Balaram, may I also take your leave and go take bath in the river Jamuna. And they smiled, and he went to take bath in the river Jamuna. But when he got to the river Jamuna, he saw Krishna and Arjuna in the river Jamuna. So then he went back to the chariot, and he saw Krishna and Arjuna in the chariot. Something like Lord Brahma taking the calves and the cowherd boys, and seeing the calves and the cowherd boys back at the place where he had kidnapped them. So then when he went back again to the river Jamuna, he didn't see Krishna and Balaram anymore. He saw Lord Vishnu and Ananta Shesh, surrounded by the four Kumaras and Narada Muni and the great sages offering prayers. This is Akura taking his bath and the chariot. And back on the chariot, there's Krishna and Balaram. So the place where this pastime occurred, along the path of the river Jamuna, is this commemoration place for today, Akuraga. And this is the deities where there's Nanda and Yasoda and Krishna. Excuse me, Nanda and Krishna and Balaram. So, again, our acharya is described like this. There was a time when Krishna appeared in Mathura, in the prison house of Kamsa. But as I said deliberately a few times, Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. It's his eternal abode. So when Vasudeva, the son of Vasudeva, fell into the river, it was that four-armed Vaikuntha Vasudeva that entered into the river, and his father picked up Krishna, because he's crossing the river Jamuna. And then again, when crossing the river Jamuna, Krishna and Balaram, they never leave Vrindavan. They entered into the hearts of the residents of Vrindavan.
appearing like he had left Vrindavan, but he never leaves Vrindavan because he's eternally situated in Vrindavan. And sometimes it appears he has a pastime where he appears. It's a lila. There's a very important verse in Bhagavad Gita, one of many. Janma karma cha me divyam evam yoveti tatvataha chakvadeham punar janma mahima piti sarjana. Krishna says if one can understand the divyam, the transcendental or divine nature of his appearance, his janma, and his activities, this understanding is so significant, so powerful, it can deliver one from material existence. Punarjanma na. No more birth and death in this material world. No more samsara. Finished. Just this one thing. So, the topic, understanding the appearance of Krishna, is a very important topic. And my message today is, Krishna is eternally situated in Vrindavan. He performs Srijami, by his own potency, he performs pastimes where it appears that he takes his birth. But he who is unborn isn't born, but he has a pastime of birth. He who eternally resides in Vrindavan appears to enter Vrindavan and appears to leave Vrindavan. But he never leaves Vrindavan. He eternally resides there. But he has divyam, transcendental ways by which he appears in Mathura and performs pastimes in Vrindavan, then goes to Mathura, then spends some time in Dwarka. And those places are there. Just as we heard at the very beginning, the archaeological evidence is there. There were palaces in Dwarka. There were places where Krishna resided at Nandagram. You can go and see. They're very wonderful places. But there, it's actually, these are his eternal abodes. And from time to time, he descends. That is, he manifests to our external vision the places of his pastimes and his pastimes. We were discussing this just last night. Each time he appears, yada yada, from time to time, the pastimes, it's not quite like reruns. There's themes of his pastimes. But there's variegatedness within his pastimes because variety is the mother of pleasure. There's that saying. And Krishna's rasavai saha, he's chief. He is rasa. He knows how to enjoy transcendental pleasure. So he enjoys in variegated ways. So his pastimes are slightly different each time he appears, and each time he renders his wonderful activities, and each time he disappears from this world. So we should know Krishna is eternally present in his holy dham, and there's the eternal spiritual realm in the spiritual sky, in the parabrahma, far, far beyond the purview of this created manifestation. And within this created manifestation, he manifests his pastimes for attracting the hearts and minds of the conditioned souls and fulfilling the desires of his devotees. If we can understand that simple fact about Krishna's divine appearance, that alone is sufficient to carry us out of the cycle of birth and death and again into the eternal pastimes of Krishna. And in that realm, there's no material bodies. There's no influence of matter. There's no influence of the modes of nature. There's no influence of karma. There's no influence of time. It's a very different realm. It's the realm for which we're all hankering. Just put it in very simple terms. We all want happiness that is unlimited, ever expanding. There's no death. There's a verse in Bhagavad Gita. Krishna speaks of janma mrityu jara vyadi dukkha doshana darshanam. Those things are absent in the spiritual world. In this world, they're here. Birth, death, and in between, old age and disease. And in the spiritual world, those things are absent. Because the forms are not material. Because the desire, when the desire becomes fully spiritual, then that entitles us entrance into that spiritual realm. So by fixing our mind, trying to understand the transcendental nature of Krishna, that carries us to that spiritual realm. Very important subject matter. Transcendental subject matter. Hare Krishna, thank you all for participating in the coming today.